Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ray Graff, in for Joe Donahue. It's 10:36. 90 Miles is a Cuban-American music collaboration of a distinctly unique collection of songs. Originally recorded in Cuba under a special visa, 90 Miles has received global recognition and was a featured documentary on BBC Worldwide in the fall of last year. The group will be performing Thursday night at the College of St. Rose in Albany. The touring group features three critically acclaimed jazz musicians, vibist and Albany native Stefan Harris, saxophonist David Sanchez, and trumpeter Nicholas Payton. Stefan Harris attended Albany High School, played in the Empire State Youth Jazz Ensemble, a four-time Grammy nominee. Harris has been heralded by the Los Angeles Times as one of the most important young artists in jazz and has been awarded Best Mallet six times by the Jazz Journalists Association. He is a great player, and it's a great honor to welcome him back to the Roundtable. Stefan Harris, hi.
Hi, how you doing this morning?
Great to have you with us. And, you know, it's one of those weird coincidences. I'm filling in today for Joe, who's ill. Last night, I did not know that I would be doing this interview, and I was listening to Milt Jackson. And I asked myself the question, when you play, what sort of history do you feel? Do you feel the history of the greats that have come before you when you get out to play?
You know, honestly, when you're playing, music is such an intense experience to create on the spot. Your mind is so focused in the now that you're not thinking about the past and you're not thinking about the future. There's so much going on around you. You're mainly focused on understanding what's happening in the moment. But before I go on stage, after I've performed, it's certainly on my heart, and it's part of what keeps me moving forward and keeps me working really hard, thinking of people like Duke Ellington and Milt Jackson and the people that I truly admire.
You know, I was reading an article a week or two ago, Wayne Shorter interview, and he brought back a time when he was with Art Blakey, which was, what, late 50s, early 60s. And he said Art one time told him, oh, jazz is dying, man. And, you know, it's not dead yet. What do you do to keep it vital?
The most important thing is to keep it relevant in terms of what it is that you're creating. Ultimately, art is a reflection of the people. Great music has the sound of an era. It has the sound of a region. It's a reflection of what's happening in the world. So as long as you create something that is a direct reflection of our times now, it'll always be around. And also, I think that if you look at what's going on in the world right now, in many ways, the core values in jazz in particular, in my opinion, it's empathy. And there are great lessons to be taught from the way that jazz and creativity works on the stage. So I think it's a very pertinent time, and I think that really jazz is the sound of America. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Well, that's certainly good news to my ears. I mean, is that the ultimate core of jazz that will never change despite stylistic changes over the years? Is that empathy?
In my opinion, I think that is one of the things that makes the music really pertinent. It's why it's so significant and why it's still around, because there's a great about humanity embodied in this art form. The styles of music change all the time. It's ultimately not about style. And in fact, if you think about it, jazz is an art form that could have only developed in the United States, because we have such a melting pot of different cultures, and not necessarily cultures that always got along, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But jazz has figured out a way to require that you're different, you get together, and the fundamental thing is that you have to understand where other people are coming from. You have to, and you're required not to sound like others. Like, if I get on the stage and I play like Milt Jackson, that's a major problem. That's not jazz
at all. But, yeah, I see your point. But is it, you certainly have elements, or at least, you know, in the back of your stylistic history, you know, Milt Jackson is there. It's not a sin for you to play a phrase that he might have sound like him, right?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm part of a lineage. It's a continuation of the story. But ultimately, the music that I create, if you listen to any of my projects, the including the 90 Miles Project, but my group's Blackout. That's all a very modern sound that I think is a reflection of my, not only my peer group, but a reflection of my time on the planet.
90 Miles, let's talk about that. Now, how is, you know, of course, Dizzy in the 40s and 50s already had embraced Cuban music. How did you come to this avenue?
Well, the initial idea came from a record company. I got a phone call, and they asked me if I would be interested in working with David Sanchez, and at the time it was Christian Scott on trumpet. And these are incredible musicians, so I was absolutely excited to participate. We started talking about the idea of going to Cuba. I was totally down for it. I actually had never been to Cuba before, and I was really excited about having a new experience.
I mean, was it well-received, I would imagine, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. When we got there, one of the things that I liked the most about the way the process unfolded was that even until like a week before, we didn't even know if it was going to happen. We were waiting for approval, you're waiting for visas, and we weren't even sure. We didn't even know many of the musicians that were there. We ended up recording with two young Cuban pianists and their groups. I went on YouTube, literally, and just saw some footage of them and wrote some music that I thought would work based on what I saw there. So there was a feeling of the unknown that it's like when you have the environment of the unknown, that's where creativity thrives. If everything is planned out and predictable, a lot of times you can come up with something that sounds good,
yeah,
not necessarily amazing. And I think that sense of the unknown was captured on this record. There's an excitement and an energy that's there that's really special.
Is the Cuban jazz community just as vibrant as it was back in Dizzy's day when he was discovering that?
You know, one of the things that I loved about being there in Cuba was this: you really were able to get the sense that music is a part of people's everyday life. It's not just entertainment. In many cases in the United States and a lot of other countries around the world, people go to concerts and you sit and you watch, and that's kind of the role that music plays. But there in Cuba, I mean, it's more ritualistic. There are concerts, of course, but I mean, it's restaurants, and then you're walking down the street, people are playing and people are dancing. It's just a part of everyday life, and it's really quite amazing. And the government actually does a good job, the Cuban government, of preserving their culture. Each of the musicians is paid to be a musician. That's their job. They don't have to worry about doing anything else. They're actually paid to rehearse and paid to practice every day, and they also are encouraged to continue the proliferation of Cuban music specifically, in addition to studying art forms that are broader than just Cuban culture.
Well, that brings up a great question. We're talking to Stefan Harris, who is performing with the group 90. Is the group called 90 Miles?
Yes, the group is 90 Miles.
Okay, and they'll be at College of St. Rose tomorrow night. So you brought up the Cuban musicians who are paid by the government to play. So do you think that in the genesis of jazz at the beginning of the 1900s, you know, if the government was paying musicians, would there be a jazz at all?
That's a really fascinating question. I'm one who accepts things the way they are.
Yeah.
I think I couldn't possibly predict how things would be if you change one element. It could be much better or it could be much worse. It's really difficult to speculate on something like that. It's a great question, though.
Well, maybe we'll catch a follow-up next time you're on. You know, is jazz... Art Blakey obviously was wrong when he thought it was dying, because by the early 60s, it had reflowered. Is jazz healthy right now?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, just to go back to the comment that Art Blakey made, you know, if you think of jazz in terms of style, it is potential that a certain style of jazz can die out, because if that particular style isn't culturally relevant anymore and it's not expressive enough for what's going on in the world, it could die out. But the core values of creativity and the platform of empathy that jazz has provided the art world, that's not going to go anywhere. Where the world needs empathy. So I'm totally confident about that. I think we're in good shape. Now, in terms of what's happening now, there are more jazz musicians now than ever in the history of the art form.
Yeah.
There are over 250 college-level programs in the United States now. Now, if you go back 20 years, 30 years, I mean, there may have been I mean, I don't know the number offhand, but my guess is it could have been 40.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a huge explosion in the appreciation for the art form.
You know, you know this area well, but the College of St. Rose has had a very good jazz program for a long time now.
Absolutely, and Paul Boscovich has been there for a long time. He's a tremendous player and great teacher.
And a good guy.
Oh, a great guy, and it's had a major impact on a lot of people, and is a huge part of continuing the music. You know, sometimes one of the things that I've learned over the years from traveling around a bunch is it really is a collection of individuals that keep the music alive. There are a few large institutions that play major roles, but at each of these institutions, you realize that there are two or three people there who really love the music and work their butts off to ensure that other people are exposed to it. And Paul is one of those great people.
And he can be tough on his students, too. I know, because back in the 80s, I played in his big band at St. Rose, and I'll tell you what, you didn't mess around too much with Mr. Ivoskovich, so...
That's right.
I'm sure they'll all be well-behaved tomorrow night at the show.
Well, sometimes you need that.
Yeah, indeed. So, you know, you think that the future is bright, and, you know, maybe before we wrap up, and I want to encourage everybody to go see 90 Miles tomorrow night at the College of St. Rose... Are there nights when you, as somebody who needs to feel that empathy and to feel the live flow of live music, is there a time when you know, well, gosh, I'm under the weather. I'm just going to go by the numbers tonight and just sort of play more or less what I played yesterday?
I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. Music means far too much for me to phone it in. I mean, this is my life. I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes because I can't sleep and I have to get stuff out of my head. I do this because of empathy, because I think it's something that's significant in the world, and I would never do that. But am I ever under the weather when I play? Absolutely. And you just have to play through it. And are there times where the muse is not there and you really struggle? Absolutely. But that's part of the beauty. It's interesting. I remember talking to Bobby Hutcherson, actually, and Bobby Hutcherson was telling me, he's like, actually, you want to fail.
Yeah.
Because what people want, they're there. The audience is there. They want to see you succeed. They're rooting for you. They're fans of yours. And even people who don't know you, they're there. They're waiting for you to discover. And if you don't fail, you'll never discover if you just play what you know. So even on the bad nights, I'm in love with this art form.
Well, it's going to be so much fun to see you. The College of St. Rose presents 90 Miles featuring Stefan Harris, Nicholas Payton, and David Sanchez tomorrow at the Massery Center for the Arts. It's 7:30, masserycenter.org for more information. Stefan Harris, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Have a good one. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.